Why do you cut your toenails like that?
I've always done it this way.
Couldn't you do it in the bath?
Good Lord, no. I might step on a nail paring and injure myself severely.
Well, I don't like toenail remnants in the bath. I get speared when I turn over.
Well, I pick them up.
Not every time.
Anyway, I've always done it like this.
So you said.
You knew what I was like before you married me.
Did I?
I never pretended to be perfect.
Testify to that. You were awfully late again tonight.
I had work to do.
What's Zazie's?
It's a club.
What kind of club?
A gaming club. What is this? Late night quiz questions.
You mean the casino?
That is another name for it, my little chickadee.
Oh.
And what does O mean?
So. By the way, Chips Barker rang today. He of the wandering hands.
Well, don't encourage him.
I do no such thing. Clive, you really are a swine. Anyway, he wanted to know when you were going to run Harry Lorica. Since I hadn't the faintest idea what he was talking about, I felt a complete prat.
Well, not entirely a new experience for you, my sweet. Models are known for beauty, not for brains.
Stop it. That's stupid.
Sorry, I didn't mean it. I just couldn't resist the temptation.
Well, maybe you should sometimes.
Well, if I'd resisted temptation last autumn, Sasha wouldn't be here.
Oh, I want to know about this racehorse.
Well, what's to say? It's got four legs and a tail, and I hope it can bloody well gallop.
I had no idea we could afford a racehorse. Why didn't you tell me about it? Anyway, you know I've ridden since I was a child.
Oh, could you forgive me? I didn't know Pony Club membership also made you a bloodstock expert. Look, the bills are paid, aren't they? I don't see you going barefoot or in rags. Our child is not starving, so don't talk to me about what we can or we can't afford.
You really can be a little sod sometimes. Oh, you hear that?
Yeah, it's your daughter crying. Your daughter. I need my sleep. Got a big day tomorrow.
Well, who's training the horse? How is he bred?
He comes from a long line of winners, and the trainer is a chap called Robin Blackmore. Any more questions? Are you going to see to your child?
Of course I'm going to see to my child. I spend all my days and nights seeing to my child. Rather like being a single parent.
Well, you could have been. You had the choice.
Thank you very much. I seem to remember, despite my delicate condition, you were fairly anxious to march me to the registry office.
I'm coming, sweetheart. Coming. And don't forget, it's her birthday this week.
Yes.
I've got to pick up the rocking horse from Cardew.
Oh, for God's sake, let me go to sleep, woman. Morning, nurse. Sorry I'm a bit late. You're looking very glamorous today.
Oh, Mr. Linford, not in this uniform. But I have got other outfits, you know.
Have you indeed? I'm sure you look ravishing in them all, or even in nothing at all.
Oh, I don't know about that.
God, why do they play that appalling stuff? Whoever named it musical wallpaper knew what he was saying. I shouldn't think half the old dears can hear it anyway.
Which is lucky for them. Mrs. Birkinshaw's all ready for you.
Ah.
I told her you were coming, and she's brightened up no end.
I'm honored. Is Dr. Denby here yet?
He's with Mrs. Birkinshaw now.
Ah.
She's quite with it this morning.
Oh, good. That should make it easier for all of us. After you, nurse. That's good. My dear Mrs. Birkinshaw, how very good to see you again. Hello, Miles. Top of the morning to you.
And to you, old boy.
Are you the television man? It keeps going spotty.
Got your true calling at last, thanks a lot.
Mrs. Birkinshaw, Mr. Linford's your solicitor.
Not the television man.
No, I'm terribly sorry. I popped over so you can sign some papers.
What?
Do you remember how we talked about it last week?
Well, you can't mend the television, then.
I can certainly have a look at it for you. I wouldn't promise to be a first-class engineer. But, wouldn't it be a jolly good idea if he got the paperwork sorted out and then we could...
You're not Ian.
No. No, I'm Clive.
Ian used to play in our summer house. He had red hair then. I don't think he's got any hair now.
It comes to us all, I very much fear. Now,
You said you wanted us to have power of attorney. Do you remember you talked to Ian Woodville and me about
it? Are we visiting the gardens today?
Not now, Mrs. Birkinshaw, dear. Later on, if it stays fine.
Actually, it's all frightfully straightforward. It simply means that we're able to act on your behalf, pay all your bills, deal with your income tax, and generally take care of all the utterly boring details of life.
Wish I had someone doing that for me.
Quite. Mm. Now, are you happy to sign, Mrs. Birkinshaw? I've got a pen here.
I don't have to worry about the stock market.
The very last thing you should worry about. That's our problem from now on. No matter what the Chancellor does.
They all raise tax, no matter what they say at election time.
Absolutely right. And Mrs. Birkinshaw, you do understand you're allowing Mr. Linford's firm to act on your behalf.
Hate opening brown envelopes. Don't want to struggle with it.
I think that's very wise.
Where do I sign?
Brilliant, Johnny. Absolutely splendid. Now, if Dr. Denby just witnesses that...
Yeah?
Yes. Right. Now, why don't I see if I can sort out the spots on your television?
It's working all right, Mr. Linford. She just can't always remember which button to press.
And look what I've got here.
How's that? Looks pretty good to me.
Indeed.
Are we going to the gardens now? I want to smell the roses. I had over 120 different roses in my garden at Churston. And I can still remember all their names. There was Baroness Rothschild, Comte de Chambord, Roger Lamberlin, Arthur de Chancel, Madame Alfred...
This is to the Crawford and Huxtable Building Society, address on the file, headed reaccount number 7906/811. We act for Grace Eliza Birkinshaw, who has granted an enduring power of attorney to Clive Linford of this firm to act on her behalf. We enclose a certified copy of power of attorney, and we should be grateful...
Clyde. Oh, sorry, I didn't realize you were in mid-flow.
I can stop at the press of a button.
Oh. Absolutely, and if your morning is anything like mine, you're delighted to.
Yes.
Everything all right with you?
Oh, splendid.
Did you manage to get dear old Grace Birkinshaw sorted out?
No problems. I was just dropping a line to the Building Society.
She was a remarkable woman.
Mm.
It's very sad to see her go down so rapidly. She and my mother had a kind of love-hate relationship. They were both fanatical gardeners. I mean, they weren't plant-swapping. They were engaged in horticultural workmanship. Anyway, I'm glad you're looking after her interests.
I shall certainly do my best. I must say, though, a few more visits to that nursing home could turn me into a keen supporter of euthanasia.
Come along now. Woven Grange is one of the very best.
Exactly. What's so depressing? When my time comes, I like to pull the curtains down and make an exit as fast as I can. I don't want to be preserved into some hideous old age. Makes me think my parents had a lucky break after all.
Well, plane crashes with no survivors are very hard on the family. Not easy for me.
Yes.
Ah, well, dear boy, you have a good many years before the prospect of nursing home should start to alarm you. Unlike me, I'm beginning to feel decidedly out of date. Oh, by the way.
Hmm?
It's another depressing thing.
Hmm?
You see this week's Gazette?
Not yet.
A chap in there called Mark Huggins, some unknown friend of mine, has been struck off for a whopping great mortgage fraud. Just say he'll end up with a jail term, too. I was at law school with Nigel, and he was an absolute stickler for beta. Bit of a prig, actually. He must be taking his very hard, own son and all that. So... So this is, they've got to keep their house in order.
Yes.
I've got a rotten apple in the legal barrel, son or not. That business. Hate to be Nigel's shoes.
Mm.
All Mark's, I know. Can't imagine what made him do it.
Robin Blackmore.
Robin, hello. Clive Linford here.
Oh, Clive. Yeah, you were on my mind. It's telepathy again. Oh, I was going to write to you about your account, because...
I haven't got my check yet.
post office probably having another go slow. Look, I wanted to know when I can expect to see Harry Lorica on the court. Can you get him into a race at Ascot next month?
Frankly, he's not ready for Ascot yet, or any other court at the moment.
I thought he was going to be a Derby prospect for next year. With his pedigree, you led me to believe...
Well, if the performance always matched the pedigree, I'd be a multimillionaire, and that I'm not. By the way, if you could make absolutely sure your check arrives by Tuesday, because we're still going to be...
Yes, I told you, it's on its way. Now, when is this horse going to race? I mean, come on, Robin, don't play around. I've had your muscle report. You said he ran well on the gallops.
Well, yeah, but he still needs to build up a bit more muscle on the hindquarters. I've just had the results of the knee x-rays in. I'm not totally happy about them. There's improvements since the last x-ray, but it certainly doesn't look as though there's been enough bone growth.
How much longer have we got to wait? I mean, do we sit around and watch his bones grow, or what?
He's coming along very well, but he needs more time.
Time? Time? I thought horses were quite unconscious of time.
I don't know what it is about this line, but I've noticed all the horses, Sire Barks, but all are the same. They're late developers.
What about that new high-protein stuff that Chip Barker's horse is having? Can't you shovel a bit of that into him?
I'm trying to build a racehorse, not fatten a pig. Look, the Barker horse is a sprinter, an entirely different animal, and he's doing well on that feed. Put Lorry on that, he'll be out of his skin. With respect, I think you've got to leave it to me to make this decision.
We must agree to differ. And I'm not at all sure I'm prepared to wait until September. I want to see this horse running.
And I want to see him winning and staying fit. Look, I've told you, this is not a line you can rush. The consequences are going to be lousy for the colt if you do. He's got a race in him, I'm sure of that. It's starting too soon, and you're likely to end up with something that'll cost you mega bucks in vets bills, but probably need 12 months off, and still might not be sound enough to race again at the end of it all.
Look, spare me the lecture. I'm looking for results. I want something productive out of this animal.
In that case, Clive, I suggest you buy a broodmare, not a two-year-old.
Very amusing. By the way, got any of your better steeds running at Leicester today?
No. But I hear that Book of Days is reckoned a fair prospect.
A certainty.
I'm not a betting man, but you could put it that way.
Well, let's hope the knee bones start growing fast. Otherwise, I may have to make other plans. I'll be in touch.
Could you make sure that...
Let me
tell
now. We're going for the prologue to go, and a bit of a traffic jam building up. Book of Days is in the lead, but Jump with Jerry is pushing him hard on the outside. Jump with Jerry is really getting hold now, and moving fast with Chalk Yellow coming up, and Fine Bay just behind that. Book of Days losing now, and Jump with Jerry sliding on the S's. Jump with Jerry coming first across the line.
Missed you yesterday, sir.
Oh, yes.
Nearly didn't come in myself this morning. Got the sun off cold. But once I be there, soon forget about it, eh, sir?
Honestly, I'm really sorry. I don't know why Clive is so late. Do please have another drink, Mike.
Oh, yes, thank you. Probably got caught up with some last-minute telephone call. Happens to me all the time. Just as I'm going to leave the surgery.
I'll testify to that. And to the number of very dry dinners that have been eaten in our house. I'm really not sure about this supper. Since I became a mother, my horizons have shriveled to mashed potatoes and pureed spinach. Nonsense. You're a splendid cook. And not even tardy husbands will affect the meal, I'm quite sure of it. Well, he doesn't know it's Sasha's birthday. I wanted to just stay up for a present. Oh, honestly, you were wise to put her to bed. Oh, she's such a puppy. And anyway, the very first birthday is the only one where you'll have any peace. I promise you that. I'm really a very besotted mum.
Quite right, too.
I just hope Clive has the horse.
Horse? Sounds interesting.
Rocking horse, oh. Sasha.
Is Clive still in that syndicate? Still keen on watching the nag sprint round?
Apparently. I gather he's now the sole owner. No. Anyway, Clive handles the finances. You mean you don't have a joint account? Oh, no. I have mine, bit of my own, that is, and Clive has his. Basically, he's in charge of, well, you know, all the money. That sounds very charming and old-fashioned. So, when's the great day? I mean, when are we going to see your horse run? And what are your colours? And... Oh, what?
Great.
Oh, goodness. That must be Clive now.
I wouldn't have an earthly chance of keeping Jilly in financial darkness.
I'm in perpetual financial darkness, my love. No one could be more incapable of reading a bank statement.
Oh, very true. My dream of being a kept man and to hell with male lib looks like a lost hope. Clive, my dear chap, how are you?
All right. Sorry I'm so late.
Ah,
oh. Caught up with a rather difficult client.
Oh, we've met,
insisted on me going over a particularly long and complex will. Jilly, wonderful to see you. You look stunning, of course.
Oh.
Lies, lies. Don't stop. Oh, I must say, you look a bit world-weary. What you obviously need is a life-enhancing glass of something alcoholic. Did you get it? Sasha's Prezi. Did you get the rocking horse?
Something similar. I'll show you later. I intend to make myself a very powerful Pims and catch up with the rest of you idle sots.
Whoa!
Are we going to have supper in the garden?
What? Risk death by malaria?
Of course we are. We're going to be frightfully British and enjoy the summer air.
Flying insects and light drizzle notwithstanding.
Absolutely. Emily, dear, here. Let me give you a hand. Yes. No reason for you to be slaving away on our behalf.
Now, come on, Miles. Don't give me that old flannel. Don't tell me you've never broken the Hippocratic Oath.
I honestly don't think I ever stood to even bending.
Bending, exactly. Helping someone to die. Not encouraging longevity. It's got to happen. Got to be the right thing.
No, surely you're not saying you're in favor of euthanasia, Clive.
Of course I am. We have the right to press our own self-destruct button. Do you think some of the geriatrics I act for want to stay all in this world, half witless and half crippled? No. God, if we slaughter others, why not ourselves? It's the only fair and fitting way.
Well, if you don't care to slaughter others, as you put it, why should you want to destroy yourself?
Unworthiness. The human race is not clean.
Ah, I had two friends in medical school who opted out because they couldn't stand the pong of unwashed feet.
Oh,
coat with blood and guts, admirably, but sweaty socks, not a chance.
Do you remember old Paxson?
Paxson. Lord, yes, Paxson, otherwise known as the stuff sage. Taught geography. I haven't thought of him in years.
He had sweaty feet.
You're right. Delightful, though, in his way. Do you remember how he once used that awful gravy-stained tie to illustrate the Horn of Africa?
Oh, God, yes! Unforgettable.
He had a passion for dog racing. Apparently he used to spend every Friday night at the track.
Oh, really?
Emily, Miles and I have made a pact that there are certain topics of conversation utterly forbidden at dinner parties.
Children, mortgages, unemployment, education, weather, and the state of the monarchy.
I now move we include reminiscences of old school days. And possibly euthanasia.
Well, Jilly, do you want to stifle all mental activity? You've missed out European Union, women's lib, chickens lib, life after death, new age, medicine, effects of nuclear weapons on the environment, terrorism, racism, reintroduction of capital punishment, long-term effects of ERM, soccer hooliganism, violence in the inner cities, population control in China, introduction of women priests. God, yes, and sex. You missed that out too. So does that mean we can now have an uncensored conversation? censorship.
Mm.
Freedom of the press, invasion of privacy, racial discrimination at the bar.
Perhaps the bar is something you should avoid for a bit.
Well, did you hear that? My wife essayed a little play on words. Were you suggesting I reduce my Pims intake, sweetheart? Not simply beauty, but a brain worthy of Mensa as well.
Clive, I really think
we should be drifting homewards, you two lovebirds.
Quite. The packed surgery awaits Miles.
Surely not on Saturday.
Oh, I am on duty.
And I'm supposed to have a particularly tricky piece of restoration done that requires 20/20 vision and the light of dawn. By the way, are you taking us to the races when this potential Derby winner of yours makes an appearance?
Mm. What do you know about it? Has Emily been giving you the benefit of her pony club days?
Oh, Emily's been entirely reticent about the whole business. But isn't the Derby the white hope of every aspiring racehorse owner?
If he wins the Derby, I should expect free legal advice for life, not to mention unlimited inside tips. Come on, woman, it's time to stop gassing. Your lips are never sealed.
Incompetent is what my dentist calls them. Did you know that? It's a technical term for a mouth that can't be closed.
Just ignore her. It's the drink, you know.
Ha! I'm driving, so you'd better be nice to me. Otherwise, I shall go very fast round all the bends and make you feel quite sick.
Jilly.
Well, it was a lovely meal, sweetie. Oh, thank you so much.
It was wonderful. And we loved the birthday cake.
Oh, you are kind.
And I can't wait to lash out on some expensive outfit for the race.
Oh.
Owner and friends, you know, in the winner's enclosure.
Absolutely right. I'll see you to the car.
Bye.
Bye.
You want a hand with the washing up?
No, thanks. Can all go in the dishwasher?
Oh, yes, of course. Right, well, I'll turn in then. Fairly exhausting day tomorrow.
But it's Saturday.
Yes, well, I promised to go into the office. Rather a lot on right now.
Did you get the horse?
What?
Sasha's birthday present. The rocking horse from Cardiff.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I...
Listen, steady on. I didn't have my checkbook with me or my wallet. I took my jacket off at work. You know how hot it was today, and I left it there when I went out at lunchtime.
How did you pay for lunch then?
No, just a bit of loose change. Only had a sandwich, took it back to the office.
Well, can you pick it up tomorrow? Otherwise, I'll go myself.
I bought this.
Out of the loose change?
Yes, well... I know it's not a bloody rocking horse, for God's sake, but a panda is all right, isn't it? It's ecologically acceptable. Buying one helps world wildlife. I never had my parents rushing home with great big glorious present for me.
All right, okay. Sure, don't worry. I'll pick it up when I can. Not going to argue about it. You always twist things round, and you don't listen to what I'm trying to say.
Bloody hell, the shoe's on the other foot, I would say. You're far too busy playing mother to pay any attention to me.
It really was a rather frosty time this evening.
Mm.
Why is Clyde so beastly to Emily?
Well, they're always a bit like that.
Oh, you sound so sweet with a toothbrush in your mouth.
Mm.
You'd like to run that by me once again.
He was always a bit like that. I seem to remember he was bullied quite a lot at school, even before the great drama.
What great drama?
For your confidential
ear. Oh, Miles, for heaven's sake. After all this time, you still think I'm going out on the streets with a trumpet proclaiming some poor soul's indiscretion?
Sorry.
Well, imagine Clive thinking you'd done the Hippocratic Oath. I should think you must have every word of it inscribed on your scrotum.
No!
What is your father?
I'm just reminding you. Anyway, the poor little sod committed suicide. Or rather, tried to.
Oh, how awful. Where?
On the cricket pitch, I seem to remember. In fact, I believe his old packs were found.
Well, why did he do it, and how did he?
Aspirins. He must have brought them back after half term, smuggled them in. Something to do with his mother and some chap, I believe. It's all hushed up. But of course, there was the rather dramatic business of the ambulances screeching out onto the playing fields and so on.
Oh, the cricket pitch was a fairly public sort of place.
Hmm.
Must have been a cry for help rather than a definite beat.
Actually, he took a whopping great amount. I do recall that. I think he was decidedly touch and go.
Maybe tonight was a bit of a shout. What's that poem, you know, about waving and drowning?
Oh, yes,
Can he really afford to keep a racehorse in these troubled times?
Oh, I wouldn't know. He inherited quite a bit a couple of years ago when his parents were killed.
Oh, God, yes, I've forgotten about that.
Yes. I was ahead of them at school, what, 3 or 4 years, and we sort of lurch into each other from time to time. Well, since he came back here and joined old Woodville. I don't really know him.
I wonder if Emily does. It's a very quick courtship.
They have produced a child, so I suppose she must have at least a passing acquaintance.
Anyway, I thought despite all that wonderful beauty of her, she looked like a frightened little rabbit this evening.
Oh.
It just seemed a bit odd not to have brought back a prezi for your daughter's first birthday.
Do you plan to sit up gossiping idly all night, or are you coming to bed, woman?
Oh, you're so masterful.
Shut up and come over here.
Yes, doctor, whatever you say.
You don't want to pay the tax on this one, sir?
What?
Tax.
Oh, yes, thanks. I will, here.
That's wonderful, darling. Oh, you are clever. Just one more step. Yes. Great, and another. Steady now. Oh, very good. You are so clever.
Hello, what's going on here?
She just took her first steps. Well, two
all three, actually. Isn't that marvellous? Isn't it exciting?
Certainly is. She looks like a little robot.
Go and show Daddy. Hold out your hands for her, Clara. Right. Help her.
All right. Come on, then. Come on. Oh, just got to put the telly on. Back in a minute.
Clive!
Wait me a second.
Darling, it's all right now. Clive! You're doing fine. Daddy didn't mean
to. The results of the last race of the world, number one, Charles Fella, number two.
No, sweetie, try not to eat his pail. Pails don't taste good. Oh, really? You think so?
How would you like to pay, madam? Cash, check account, or credit card?
A credit card, I think.
Lovely, thank you. I'll just check this through. Won't keep you a second.
Daddy will be surprised, won't he, when he sees what we've got? You're going to have a ride soon? Yes! Wouldn't that be fun?
Madam? I'm ever so sorry, but we can't accept your card.
Beg your pardon?
Well, I'm ever so sorry. Your credit limit is overdrawn. No more transactions can be accepted.
Are you sure? I mean, isn't there some mistake?
I'm sorry, madam. Or would you like to pay cash? Or a cheque if you've got a guarantee card for £100?
No. No, I'll leave it, thanks.
It's all for you, Radio 2.
Clive, is that you?
No, actually, it's a Mongolian raider attired in tunic, helmet, and cross garter boots and carrying a sword.
Silly.
Not as silly as you'd feel if it wasn't me. Sasha, sleep.
Just. Dinner's nearly ready. Do you want a drink?
Well, why not? Shall I make one for you?
Please.
G&G?
Maybe. Oh, yes. Okay.
Here.
Thanks.
To the future.
Drink to that. Clive, an odd thing happened today. I was in Cardew's. Well, I went in to pick up the rocking horse, and they wouldn't take my credit card.
Ah, they said, this girl is so beautiful and it's a wonderful day and we'll simply make her a gift for the rocking horse.
Clive, listen, don't be facetious. They wouldn't let me buy the horse. They said our credit limit was exceeded.
For God's sake, you didn't believe that, old chestnut.
Well, of course I did. I mean, they wouldn't let me take it. I told you they wouldn't accept our card.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
It's just some stupid computer error. Either that or they mislaid the check. Happens all the time.
Yes, but...
I'll sort it out. Just put another check in the post tomorrow.
But hadn't you better find out first what's happened?
Are you telling me how to run our financial affairs?
No, I'm just mentioning.
Well, leave it with me and I'll sort it out. I spend my days sorting out little problems. One more won't make any difference. Perhaps you ought not to be so extravagant. You're not modelling now, you know.
That's so horrid and so unfair. It wasn't for me, it was for Sasha. What are you doing?
I just changed.
For what? Didn't know we were going out. Haven't booked a babysitter.
We are not. It's me, Law Society dinner.
You never said. Anyway, I've got supper already.
Sorry, it was in the diary.
But not here, not at home.
Oh, I expect Sally must have forgotten to let you know. She's been a bit forgetful lately.
She's not the only one.
Don't wait up.
What time will you be back?
I don't know. Late, I expect.
Place your bet. Place your bet.
Steady now. Just got to go steady. This time I could do it. 9 red.
Finish betting.
Finish betting. Oh, God. I wish I could. Last time.
No
more bet. This is the last time.
Oh, 20 flat.
Oh, bloody hell. Can't stop yet. It's got to come right. Got to be.
Place your bets.
Oh, it's all right. I'm not asleep. How was the dinner?
Dull. As always.
Why go then?
Oh, duty. Must put in an appearance.
Seems silly. Probably if you're just sitting there. Oh, what time is it anyway? Oh, Lord, it's 2:30. Oh, my brain feels like putty.
Sasha, okay?
Yes. Sleeping at last.
Oh.
You all right?
Oh, tired. Got a headache. Feel like a cold starting.
Maybe you should stay at home tomorrow. Take it easy.
No, I can't do that. Can't have other people doing my work.
Why not? What have you got to hide?
Hide? Nothing. What the devil do you mean?
Steady on. It's only a joke. I could do with a cuddle. You weren't always like this. Distant. You're not my friend now, are you? Scarcely ever my lover. You're just my husband. I don't know who or what has your attention nowadays.
Look, I have a full schedule. My work takes up all my energy at the moment.
18 months ago, you were such fun. Has fatherhood done this to you?
Oh, give me a break, will you?
Dear sirs, we hold enduring power of attorney for Mrs. Grace Eliza Birkinshaw, and you will have received our letter of the 28th of May to this effect. I would be very glad if you would let me have details of Mrs. Birkinshaw's portfolio, as it may be necessary to arrange for the sale of certain stocks and shares during the coming months. Yours, etc. Oh, thanks, Sally. God, how very good to hear your voice. How are you? Excellent. It's ridiculous how long it's been. I didn't realize I was married. And a daughter, too. Well, not bad. You know, everybody is hit by the recession to some extent. Actually, I wanted to ask you a small favor. Well, we seem to be having one or two little cash flow problems. Slight extravagance on the Vistar side. But I just wondered if you could manage an extremely short-term loan till... What? Redundant? Since when? Good Lord. No, of course you can't. Absolutely not. Well, look, we must have lunch. I'll get in touch. Right. Okay, Charles. Cheers. I'd like to make a cash withdrawal, please, for £500. This is only a loan. Absolutely and strictly a loan. I could put this on Paracolo just in time for the 2:00. By 2:30, I could have cleared it and put the money back again. Only borrowing it, a loan. Won't do any harm, same day. Won't even lose the interest.
Could you hand me your passport, please, sir?
What?
The passport, sir. I can't make the withdrawal without it.
Sorry. Must have been dreaming.
Are 20s all right?
Oh, yes. Fine.
500. I'll put in an envelope for you, sir.
Thanks very much.
Don't spend it all at once.
I beg your pardon?
That's what my nan always says to me. Don't spend it all at once.
Mr. Blackmore is on line one for you, Mr. Linford. Shall I put him through?
Yes, please. Robin, good morning. How's the horse?
Oh, he's coming on all right. Look, I'm sure it's just slipped your mind. But we still haven't received your cheque for the last month. Actually, now it's about 3 months, and we really can't go on like this.
Are you sure?
Well, yes, I am. 100% sure.
Good heavens, I know perfectly well I posted it. I'll send you another right away. Now, look, we've got to get this colt on the track. What do you propose?
We had him out in the gallops yesterday. He ran well with one of the three-year-olds. Oh, he didn't beat him, but he put in a good little race.
Well, that's great.
Well, not bad. But in my view, he could do better. And the going was soft, which suited him. I wouldn't like to risk him on a hard track at this stage. We need to pick the race very carefully. and I'd still like to leave him till late September.
In my view, the risks are minimal, and I'm prepared to take them. My horse, my risk. In fact, I think one might say, no race, no check. Do you get my drift?
I rather think so. I'm not very keen on blackmail, Mr. Linford.
Steady on. Go around saying that to anyone else, and it might be interpreted as slander. So perhaps you could ring me as soon as possible and let me know which race you'll be entering. And don't worry, I'll make sure you get your money. Bloody know-it-all.
Clive?
Hmm?
Do I look all right? Shall I do a couple of twirls for you?
Absolutely stunning.
Oh, good. I'd hate to let you down when Harry's led into the winner's enclosure. Mrs. Nichols is coming to pick up Sasha in a minute, so we'll have the day to ourselves. It seems strange having a pair of high heels on. I feel terribly frivolous. Oh, by the way, I think there's something wrong with the phone. I'll ask Mrs. Nichols to ring the engineer. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if Harry won? Oh, hurry up, won't you? Gillian Miles are meeting us at the owner's bar, so we mustn't be late.
Oh, God, let the dream come true today, please. I beg you, let him win, please. And then I can stop it. Stop it all.
Harry Archie! Harry Archie!
What are your colours, Emily?
Purple and green. With stars.
Ah. I see you're colour coordinated, are you? I must say, you look frightfully smart.
It was Clive's idea. As long as I'm not expected to run round the track, I don't mind.
No. Quite. I noticed you've given the stars a miss, though.
I didn't want to go absolutely over the top.
Where is Clive?
Talking to Robin Blackmore, the trainer, I think.
Uh-huh.
He's terribly nervous. I always get scared for the horses.
Is that him? Over there in the town suit?
He looks very bad temper, I must say. Probably the strain. After all, I suppose you're only as good as your last winner.
Well, let's hope this horse does well for everyone's sake. Oh, there he is, number three. What did it say on the card? Making race course debut today.
I had no idea.
What?
It's the first time I've seen him. He's... Well, still so undeveloped. He hasn't got a lot of muscle. Look, compare him with number one or number four. Can't you see the difference?
Well, frankly, they all look the same to me, apart from the fact they're different colours.
Rather ties in with your dress sense, my darling.
Thank you.
I'm surprised, Emily, you've not clapped eyes on the creature before. I thought you'd be frightfully involved with it all.
Clive doesn't...
And here's the man of the moment. Come on, old boy, you made space on the mantelpiece for your trophy.
Absolutely. It's bare, barren and dusted, just waiting to be filled up.
Clive, the colt, Harry Lorica. Still looks as if he hasn't grown into his legs. Is he a late bull?
I don't know. I never managed to catch his birthday. I didn't bake him a cake either.
I bet he's only just two. Really doesn't look ready for a race yet.
I think that's a rather untimely remark as they're about to go into the starting gate. I didn't know three rosettes of Puckley Gymkhana turned you into a racing expert. What have I been missing?
Clive, stop being such a shit. We're all supposed to be enjoying ourselves.
I just want you to know that if I lose my fiver, you're going to be in deep trouble, old boy. Still, if he wins at 7-1, I shan't be complaining.
Look, if the horse doesn't win, don't blame me. It won't be my fault.
Oh, city harm. Well, was the jockey supposed to have pre-race nerves, not the owner? Have you put your shirt on this nag of yours?
Just my shirt, my shoes, socks, and underwear.
Oh, let's hope you don't go home naked, old boy.
Race, the Ryder Cup. Very promising crop of youngsters. Starting prices on this race. Number one, 5-4. Number two, 6-4. Number three, 5-1. Number four.
Harry's starting price has dropped. What's going on down there? Oh, Clive, do let me have the glasses for a moment.
There seems to be a bit of trouble at the starting gate.
Let me see. Harry, he won't go into the gate. They're having to link arms to push him in.
Here, let me have the glasses back.
I wish you two had invested in a second pair of binoculars.
Oh, it's all right. He's gone in now.
I hope he's not too unsettled. It must be terrifying for some of them. This first race.
Yeah. Rubbish. The Bredger race is their job.
Yes, but that doesn't mean yet.
They'll be under starter's orders any second now.
Oh, he seems to have a difficulty sorted out the starting gate. Number three is now set in store, which is to any starter's orders. And they're off.
Come on, Harry!
Come on! And after them, Jim Torres, the Unwind, Cornwall, and Blue Earl. After them, Harry Lockyer.
Come on, Harry, come on!
Oh, I
it'll be an absolute miracle if you win.
Everyone start praying for my fiver.
Clive, well placed in third.
Clive, look! Harry Lawrence is losing his stride, can't you see?
Coming up last furlong now, and Country Cross will lead the field and will be in second.
For God's sake, Clive, he's just sitting there!
Jolly well he's not! Look how he's laying into him! He can't win, you bloody fool! Stop hitting him, he can't win!
Come on, Harry, come on!
I'm going to see what happens.
Emily, stay out of it. Don't start imagining yourself some blasted animal welfare.
Well, good job we didn't stake our shirts. I must say, I thought the jockey was giving the poor animal rather a lot of stick.
Bloody hell! Horses are there to race, not sit on a bus.
Oh, no, fellow. You've still got your hat there.
I'm going down to the paddock. I want to see Mr. Blackmore and the jockey.
There's nothing to say. Stay out of it, Emily.
Oh, yes, there is. There most certainly is. Mr. Blackmore, I'm Emily Nymford. My husband owns Harry Lorica.
How do?
Who instructed the jockey to whack him like that? Anyone could see the horse was doing his very best. Is he all right?
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Linford? I didn't instruct the jockey to whack him like that, as you put it. And I've every reason to believe there'll be a steward's inquiry.
Well, that's something. Though I don't suppose it's much consolation to the horse. He's lame. Look at the way he's standing.
Yes, I'm aware that he's lame, Mrs. Linford. I'm doing my very best.
You could be more responsible and take more care of these animals.
Have a yelp, huh?
You're a trainer. You shouldn't let these horses hurt themselves. Harry Lorica was nowhere near ready to race today. I'm not an expert. I had the wit to see that. Why haven't you?
Mrs. Linford, do me a favor. I've been telling your husband that for weeks, especially on a track where the going's too hard for him.
What do you mean?
Exactly what I say. Look, there are two-year-olds you race. There are two-year-olds you don't race. This chap is one of the don'ts. That is, unless you have a pushy owner who's determined to have a go whether the horse is ready or not. And you get him telling you that unless you race his horse, he won't pay the bills. And you let down at the last minute, and you have to put up a daft young jockey who wants to make his name and uses the whip like he was in a canoe, and that was his bloody paddle. Don't come and lecture me, Mrs. Linford. In an ideal world, you probably wouldn't race most horses till they're three, and even then only on cotton wool. Yeah, but with men like your husband around, they'll get horses pushed long before they're ready, because they want to have a wager, or look smart in front of their friends, or boast about their success. So save your words for where they're wanted, in your husband's ear.
Really? I had no idea.
I believe you. 1,001, but I believe you. Now, if you'll excuse me, I want to get this horse cooled off and home as soon as possible. He's had enough to contend with in one day.
I am absolutely and completely at a loss to understand. You tell me that Robin Blackmore believes Harry was perfectly fit to run. He tells me that it was entirely your decision. Somebody somewhere is not telling me the truth.
Fine. If you want to doubt your husband and believe a more or less total stranger, that's fine.
Some days you're more or less a total stranger. You didn't seem to care that the horse was injured. There's definitely going to be a steward's inquiry.
For God's sake, give me a break. I was not responsible for beating the horse.
You do realize, don't you? There is such a thing as cause and effect. That if the horse is injured, it's because you insisted on racing him and to win.
Well, you don't usually race a horse to lose, darling, unless it's been nobbled. Or are you accusing me of that, too?
Just saying that on a horse's very first race, it can be allowed to go round in its own time. It doesn't have to be pushed and shoved to the limits of its being. But when it's just a baby, I feel so ashamed. I've loved horses all my life. I never imagined I'd be part of doing one so much damage.
Oh, bloody hell, stop being so melodramatic. Even if the animal has pulled a tendon, he can get over it. It's not the end of the world.
Never ever considered you to be a callous man. Maybe I don't know anything about you anymore. Maybe I never did. Why did you insist on running that colt? Why?
Well, there's nothing I can do about it now, is there?
because I'm not God. I can't dispense healing at the clap of a thunderbolt.
God doesn't dispense healing at the clap of a thunderbolt. Thunderbolts are to do with wrath and judgment. Not God and healing.
I didn't know we were going to embark on a philosophical conversation. Another branch of your expertise, is it?
Stop it, Clive. For once, I am just about angry enough to say something I might really regret.
Oh, no.
What's the matter with the car?
I don't know. Seems to be losing power.
You're stopping, Clive, for heaven's sake. We've just stopped.
I had noticed. I'll take a look.
I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. Have you looked at the petrol gauge?
What?
The petrol gauge! We appear to be out of petrol. How can you run out of petrol? Really, it's such a stupid thing to do.
Bloody start of nagging. Look, I'll walk to the nearest petrol station and...
Why are you looking like that?
I think... Oh, God. I think my wallet must have been stolen at the track.
Oh, the end of a perfect day. Use your credit card.
And you were in the wallet, too.
Look. I've got... This is all I've got. Should buy us a gallon. We can get home on that, can't we?
I'll try and be as quick as I can. Read the race card and try not to talk to any strange men.
Hardly. The man I'm married to is quite strange enough.
Hello? Is there anyone at home? Emily, hello?
Goodness. Hi, Julie. What a lovely surprise.
No.
You're only just to turn up, but I haven't been able to get through to you. Your line's engaged the whole time.
Rats. I thought Clive was going to tell them.
Do you want me to babysit while you nip down to the post office? You can ring from there.
You are kind. Sasha's asleep. I'll get the phone sorted out, then we can have a coffee and a quiet chat. What? The line's out of service. Well, yes, I know that. That's why I'm calling you. What? My name is Emily Linford. The account's in the name of my husband, Clive Linford. Yes, all right, I'll hold. Hello? I'm trying to discover why our phone is out of order. My name's Emily Linford and our number is 0641-86397. Sorry? What? The account hasn't been paid. No, I didn't. I see. Yes, okay. Okay, yes. Thanks a lot.
I'd like to open a new account, please.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. Do you already have an account with us at the Wessex?
No, I don't.
Oh, right, sir. Oh, do you want an extra interest account?
No, not necessary.
Well, sir, as you're depositing over £5,000, it might...
No. Look, an ordinary deposit. This check is only Crawford and Buxtable. Can you arrange for it to be cleared quickly?
I can indeed, sir. There's a charge of £15, and we try to get it through within 3 to 4 days.
Can't you do it any faster?
I'm afraid not, Mr. Linford. Right, if you just sign here.
Sasha's still sleeping like a lamb, and I've got the coffee all ready. Em, what's the matter? Are you all right?
Well, I don't know. I just learned that the phone's not out of order. It's been cut off because Clive hasn't paid the bill.
Well, that's easily remedied. I expect he just forgot. You know how chaps can be when they've got a lot on their minds.
Oh, Emily, darling, whatever. It's only a phone bill, sweetheart. It can be put right in a moment.
No, it can't. Oh, I don't know. But something... Oh, I don't know what's happening to him. Oh, me.
Look, another coffee, tissues.
Now, see these ears, specially designed for listening to friends' problems.
Oh, it's childish to cry. Oh, I must learn to grow up.
Growing up, sweetie, isn't a 5-minute job.
is a continuing process till the lid is finally hammered down on the old wooden box.
He won't talk to me, Ginny. Really talk, not just meaningless stuff.
English disease. Not normally found in the medical dictionaries. An ailment which renders the sufferer unable to communicate his true feelings. Women are also prone, but the disease is most common in males over the age of 35, especially those who have undergone the English public school system. No known cure, but sometimes cataclysmic events will persuade the afflicted one to seek remedial treatment.
Cataclysmic events. Oh, I don't know. The last few days, ever since that total fiasco on the race course, things have been more and more impossible. Clive keeps telling me lies. About little things. His wallet wasn't stolen at the racetrack. I found it a few days later. We must have run out of petrol because he didn't have any money. Suddenly, the phone bill isn't paid. Credit cards are overdrawn.
I don't know if this is a silly question, but does Clive... Well, does he gamble?
He likes a bet. Yes, of course. I know he put money on Harry Lorica and lost. Well, we all did. He hasn't said, because I can't get him to talk to me about it, but... I think he's going to sell the horse. The poor animal won't be fit to race again for at least 12 months, if ever.
No more than that. I mean, seriously gamble. Not just the odd bet, but regular stuff in betting shops, casinos.
I don't know. It's possible. But we've always had money. You could be right. Am I an ostrich, Jilly?
Almost everyone is at one time or another. Don't beat yourself up about it.
I suddenly feel very small. Very silly.
Well, thanks very much for getting in touch. Yes. Now, I dare say there is some explanation. I'll certainly look into it. Well... Solicitors are human, too, you know. Oh, I'm quite sure the Crawford and Buxtable have a clean record. That's never been in doubt. No, indeed. Right. Well, again, thanks very much. That's true. Something very unpleasant and unhappy is going on. And the buck stops right here. Right, Woodville, you with your old national service training and screw up your courage... Sally, is Mr. Linford in his office?
Yes, sir. He's just come back.
Right. Thank you.
Oh, Ian, not at all. I was just about to go to a meeting.
Delay it, please, will you? And ask Sally to hold all your calls.
That sounds urgent. Yes, of course. Now, hold all calls, will you, Sally, until I get back to you? What seems to be the trouble? Is the actress...
I'm not in a mood for music hall jokes. I've got a letter here from Weldon Grange Nursing Home. They say that Mrs. Birkinshaw's bills haven't been paid for the last 2 months, despite repeated requests.
That's nonsense. Absolute nonsense.
I've also had a call from the Crawford and Buxtable. Apparently, you've been making a number of cash withdrawals, and most recently asked for a cheque to be made out to the Wessex for £5,500. There's also been a letter from Mrs. Birkinshaw's stockbroker.
Look, there's a perfectly simple explanation for it all. Absolutely no problem. I was merely transferring some stocks. And as far as the building society was concerned, I was keen to get the best rate.
I have also been reliably informed that you spend a great deal of time in the betting shop at Halsbury.
Good God! Everybody's allowed to have a wager now and then.
And the casinos in Bristol.
There's no crime in...
There's no crime in gambling. But there is most definitely crime when a solicitor is guilty of embezzlement. When he betrays a trust, takes advantage of an old and mentally unstable woman. When he displays totally uncontrollable behavior. Clive, for God's sake, have the guts to be honest. What the hell have you been doing?
Clive, where are you going? Clive!
worried and I couldn't phone because it's been cut off because you haven't paid the damn bill.
Oh, Em.
Dear God. You look like a ghost. What's happening? Are you ill? Have you been in an accident? What's going on?
I can't. Don't know that.
Inside. Come inside. Don't stand out here like this. Oh, it can't be that bad. Have a drink. I'll get you one.
No, don't want a drink. If you do this straight, no questions.
Don't you want anything?
The good old English panacea.
All right, the kettle's full. I'll just put it on. Now, tell me.
Got in quite a bit of trouble. Lost money.
How?
On, gambling. Gambling.
On horses?
Yes. Other things, roulette cards. Mostly horses.
Well, we shall make some more. And I've still got my stocks and shares, and we've got the house.
Yes and no.
What do you mean, yes and no?
I took a second mortgage out of the house.
Oh, you never told me.
Oh, no, I should have.
Go on.
And I've had the power of attorney for an old woman who's in a nursing home, and I... Well, I used her money.
Good God. I don't believe it. Tell me you're making it all up. You are. No. You're not, are you? You're actually telling me the truth.
I'm going to pay it all back, I swear, at every penny.
Do they know at work? Does Ian know?
Yes, and, he's happy. He's got to report me to the Law Society. No choice, almost certainly. He's struck off. I don't think he's going to tell the police, but I don't know.
You could go to prison for this.
Emily. Darling, Emily.
You're a liar. And a cheat. And a thief. And I'm married to you, and we have a child. I wanted you to be honest with me, and now you ask not to say. Well, think. I certainly don't know what to do. You're a bastard. You really are a bastard.
Don't leave me, please. Don't leave me. Hello, Dr. Timby.
It's Emily.
Emily, hello. What's up?
It's Clive. Something's happened. He's been taking money for gambling from his firm.
Oh, no. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
He's in his bed now. But I opened his briefcase, and I don't know why I did, and I found these bottles of aspirin in it, and I had to come out to telephone because I had it cut off still, and please, Miles, I'm scared. Yes. Could you come over, please?
Yes, of course I can. I'll be with you in a matter of minutes. Like, just go on back home, and don't worry. Everything can be sorted out.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I've given him a sedative. You'll probably sleep now till late morning.
But how about you? Now, what can I do for the carer?
Well, the first thing I shall do tomorrow, or today now, is get the phone bill paid.
Are you, are you all right for money?
I have enough, yes. Right. I can sort things out. I just left it all to Clive. Which is silly, really. What do I do now about Clive?
Well, from what you have told me and what I pieced together from us and what incoherent conversation upstairs. I'd say he is a well-hooked, compulsive gambler.
But what does that mean?
It's a form of addiction, Em. An illness, certainly. Just as serious as alcohol or narcotics. And just about as difficult to give up.
I didn't realize. I had no idea. Maybe I didn't want to look too deeply.
I should have picked it up from the way he was behaving at the races. It's funny how you miss things with your friends that you'd spot in a moment with a patient. But don't you be too rough on yourself. Compulsive gamblers are very good at covering up their tracks, and they are brilliant liars. It's all part of the game.
But what are we to do?
But he certainly needs help. I think that probably Gamblers Anonymous is his best bet. I'm sorry. Oh, unfortunate use of words. I'll get you some contact numbers and addresses of local meetings. Lord knows whether he'll go or not.
He doesn't like to ask for help.
Yes, I know that one. The professional man's downfall is professional pride. We're the experts, doctors, lawyers, accountants. We sort it out for other people. It's rather hard to admit that sometimes we need a little sorting out, too. More alcoholics per capita in the medical profession, you know. Well, but to answer your question, I think he might go now that he has got everything to lose, job, home, and family. The stakes should be high enough for a gambling man to give it a try.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to go on living with him.
Well, look, it's very early days. And you've had one hell of a shock.
Yes.
And you have loved each other enough to get married and have a child.
Yes.
So, best not make any sudden decisions, hmm? Yeah. I'll get Gillett to pop over and take care of Sasha. It'll be good for our chaps to have a civilizing female influence for a few hours. I'll see you later on. But don't lose courage.
How are you feeling?
Strange. Disordered. Amazed. Seems a miracle you're still here.
We've got a lot to sort out.
Yes.
Were you going to kill yourself?
I don't know. I think so.
All I want from you is honesty. And love.
Love's never been absent. Honesty. Not so easy.
Miles says that gambling is a sickness.
Probably true.
All the lies you told me. All these months. I don't know if I can ever believe anything you say now.
Please, Em.
For I'm really angry. Not shouting, screaming kind of angry. I just feel great waves of it inside me.
I've behaved very badly.
You've behaved like you were still a bachelor right through our marriage, not like a husband or a father. It's as though Sasha and I don't exist at all.
Please.
I don't understand it. Do you?
No. Except like a sham all my life. I was nobody. Just the invention of the last person I talked to. Disconnected. Except for gambling, I felt connected. I couldn't feel things anymore. Not after my mother tried to kill myself at school.
Killing yourself is no solution to anything.
There are times when it seems to be. So many things. Shaming things up. I don't have to talk. I can't.
I just have one question for you. Do you want our marriage to survive?
Yes. Yes, I do, more than anything.
Then you're going to have to learn how to talk. Because unless you learn to communicate your true feelings, we've got nothing to build upon.
You here for the GA meeting, then?
Yes.
First time, is it?
Yes.
I thought so. I'm Frank. We just go by Christian names here.
How do you do? Clive.
Oh, welcome, Clive. You married?
Yes.
Kids?
One daughter. She's just over a year now.
You can bring your wife, you know, with her to Gammonon. It might help her to cope with idiots like us.
Thanks. I'll tell her.
Yeah. Needs a bit of courage, the first meeting.
Yes.
It takes me back looking at you. God, I reckon a dish rag had more colour than me. Ah, not that I'm saying you're like a dish rag, mate. No, you'll be fine. Mind you, stopping gambling's the easy bit. It's staying stopped that takes a bit of time.
Well, I don't know if that... I tried.
Now, look, you can't expect to solve all the problems of a lifetime at once, you know. Yes. We have a saying here, one day at a time.
Yeah?
You understand? You live in the here and now, not some crazy dream world of your own invention. You say to yourself, okay, just for today, I won't gamble.
Right.
I mean, take it one day at a time and you'll crack it. Well, there are people here in this room coming far worse than you, and they haven't gambled for 15 years.
I've done some terrible things. Nobody could have done the things I've done.
Mate, you're in for a few surprises, I can tell you that. Now, you're amongst friends here, you know. We've all walked a primrose path in this room, oh, yes. Wait, did you have any trouble finding it?
A friend gave me the address. It's funny because... ages ago, I met this chap in the casino. Got talking, asked me a lot of questions. Then he said, just as he was leaving, when you're deep enough in the shit, there's a fellowship called Gamblers Anonymous. And when you feel you need them, give them a ring.
Oh, I never. And here you are in the shit. Well, like I say, we've all been there. Plenty of us still wading in amongst it, too. Is that right, Jimmy?
Oh, right. Oh, very nice to see you. I'm Jimmy.
Clive.
Yeah, and I'm the chairman tonight.
Ah.
Evening, everyone.
Evening.
Welcome. My name is Jimmy, and I am a compulsive gambler, and it's my honour to be in the chair tonight. We have a new member here this evening, Clive. I'd like to start with a reading from the GA Recovery Programme. We admitted we were powerless over gambling, that our lives had become unmanageable.
Thought I could stop whenever I wanted to. So frightening being completely out of control.
Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to a normal way of thinking and living.
Desperate need to find someone who could understand my distorted world. Everyone else had the answers. Terrible loneliness. Telling lie after lie.
Made a decision to turn our will and lives over to the care of this power of our own understanding.
Until I was absolutely stripped of everything.
Admitted to ourselves and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs.
Gambling was the first thing I thought of when I woke up. My life's work, law, was something I did in between.
We're entirely ready to have these defects of character removed.
Don't seem to have the knack of suicide. Feel like an idiot when you failed at that, too.
Humbly ask the God of our understanding to remove our shortcomings.
Forgiveness. Have to believe it's possible.
Made a list of all persons we'd harmed and became willing to make amends to them all.
I'm going to pay them back. Ian, Mrs. Birkinshaw, every single penny.
Made direct amends to such people wherever possible. Except when to do so would injure them or others.
No good as a husband or a father. Seemed to contaminate everything I touch. Even a child. Or a racehorse. I am responsible for causing so much pain to good people who deserve better from me.
Continued to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, promptly admitted it.
Emily hasn't left me, so there must be miracles. My daughter smiles when she sees me. Not a miracle that she recognizes me at all.
Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, as we understand him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out.
God loves the weak and foolish, and I must be high on his list.
Having made an effort to practice these principles in all our affairs, we try to carry this message to other compulsive gamblers.
My name's Clive. And I'm a compulsive gambler.
Thank you, Clive. We all know what courage it takes. Hope you stick with us, eh? Now, on the back of the recovery program, there's a small prayer we used to finish our meeting. Shall we stand now? Say the closing. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
In One Day at a Time by Anna Clements Muse, Clive was played by David Bannerman, and Emily by Carolyn Backhouse. Ian, Frank, and various commentators were Bill Wallace, and Robin, Jimmy, and other commentators were Christian Rotzke. Miles, the male clerk, and the bookie were Steve Hodgson. Jilly and the girl clerk were Melinda Walker, and the nurse, the shop assistant, and Sally were Ingrid Wiseman. Mrs. Birkinshaw was June Barry. As this was the last BBC drama production to be recorded at Christchurch Studio, Clifton, Bristol, we had the services of three senior technicians, Mike Burgess, Graham Hoyland, and Andrew Lawrence. The production assistant was Elizabeth Taylor. One Day at a Time was directed by Sean McLaughlin.